I gather today, Lord, as usual, on the first day of the week, knowing what you have done, Lord, on that particular day. The power of resurrection took place and demonstrated. And many of the Old Testament sin even resurrected, Lord, to show, O Father, we have redemption. We have the assurance of eternal life. When we come under the blood and the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. Bless now, Father, as you approach thy word, asking the Lord, may we have a ear to hear, a heart to listen, O Father. And I just pray, this, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, let's go to where we left off. I'll try to finish as much as I can, because I'm very breathless nowadays. Last week after I finished, I was really very tired, very hard to breathe. I mean, I love singing, and that's why sometimes I can't sing now, because when I have to sing, I feel very tired. So I will see how far I can go. I try to keep within about 70 minutes, if possible. And I just want the Lord to open up things as we go along. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Philippians, as we, where we left off in the series of contentment and joy. And it's one of the most important books, actually the only book, as I said, that has nothing to do with doctrine, but a whole lot of things to do with one's contentment in life. You know, they always should be contented with what we have. And if we are contented with what we have, then we will be filled with joy. Right? And the contentment is not in what we have in the world. It's what we have in Christ Jesus. There's nothing else. As the song said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Amen? Amen. So let us go where we left off. Let us go to chapter 1. And again, let's go, just pick it up from verse 9 and onward again. And this I pray, that your love may abound, or as I say every time, you understand the word, be careful what you read, but the word love here is agape. I pray that your God, agape, may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. And we end our last week on that two verses about sincerity. This is not just the only place in the scripture to talk about sincerity. We already went to Joshua and talked about that, the same, what Joshua said that. But in many places in the New Testament, the word sincerity and sincere appear. And I think there's nothing more important than that. In fact, when I was in the denomination, I never heard one time people talk about sincerity. It was only after when I came to the message, when I read about the testimony of Brother Branham, where he said the angel told him, if you will be sincere, I tell you what, that caught my attention. That really caught my attention. And I have been always in that time, Lord, help me to be sincere as I should be. Not playing taps or trying to, you know, deceive people and try to having white lies. You know, I remember there are some believer in Singapore, and they told me, he said, you know, Bob Abraham said white lies is okay. So I don't know, he can say whatever he wants. You need to understand why he said that. So it's okay to tell white lies, sometimes many people. But whether it's white or black lie, a lie is a lie. You know, maybe a white lie is good intention. You know, but sometimes it can so deceptive that you keep on using white lie, you can deceive people. And you, when you do that, it comes to the Bible, you even tell white lie in your Christian life when you deal with brother and sister in the faith. You see? So be careful when you talk about that. So Paul here said one thing. You see here, he said, your love may abound. You can never be abound in the love of God unless you have knowledge of His word. And he said that you may, and yet more and more in the knowledge and all judgment. Not only in your knowledge of your word of God, no knowledge of what you have in this Christian life, but that you need to have wisdom. discernment, proper discernment. Before you open your mouth, before you do anything, you're saying. Sometimes we get upset all over things and we do just go ahead and do things, you know, because we are upset. And that is not discerning. We need to discern before we do something. And I know that discernment is not an easy thing, you know what I mean? And that you may approve things that are excellent. Discerning what is right, what is excellent, that you may be sincere without offense to the day of Christ. I believe that every one of us want to live that life until the coming of the Lord. Now, you have read in the post that I sent to you. I posted on our church group regarding my correspondence with Brother Livon and how that he told me about Brother Mike Stonemeyer, who lives in California all by himself. You know, and I know that Brother Mike Stonemeyer is going through a hard time because of his health too. And so when I wrote him, of course, we correspond, you know. And, you know, I like this brother. I like this brother because, in a sense, that he is very sincere in what he said. You know, he will tell me, he will encourage me, you know. And I do my best to encourage him as well. You see, and, well, you know, when I sent that to Brother Nice, and he was kind of shocked, but again, you know, the people in Nigeria, some of the brother and believer, they cried when they heard that you are in this condition. You know, they thought, you know, that you're in bad shape, you know. And Brother Nice told me that his wife said to him, you know, when did the last time you talked to Brother Gan? Did you hear his voice? When was the last time? So in fact, we didn't actually talk for some few weeks passed anyway, maybe about 5-6 weeks, I think. And when he read that, and he said, oh, but again, when I read that thing that you wrote, I was surprised. It shows that you are still much, a lot of energy and you're concerned. And he said, yeah, I'm alive. Yeah, I'm okay. You know, I'm not going to just... I said, you're expecting me to sit down and do nothing? You know, I know that the brothers there, they are very concerned and they know my ministry. As I said, this one thing. I remember last Sunday, I was telling you about Brother John, the event that happened, you know. And there's one part I forgot to close up with. And I don't know whether he still remembers it. You see, when we had the meeting, when he came, the first time he came by, he was sitting right back with his wife. And the second week when he came, he was sitting about two, you know, as I said, we were in a YMCA, so it's about two rows away from the front. And the reason why he did that later on, he told me, I don't know what he remember. After I told him what the Lord revealed to me about his fear of this cancer that it might be in his nasal, you know, and he told me, he said, Brother Gan, you know, that day I was praying, I was sitting right there, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, Abraham is your servant. I'll reveal to him what I'm going through. Do you remember that, Brother John? Yes, good. You know, and I didn't know that he was praying, but he was always looking at me, you know. Sometimes, you know, when I preach, a lot of people don't look at me and they look down. But he was looking at me and I think he was praying. But there was nothing. He expected me to, you know, what the Lord through me revealed to him what he was expecting. But you know, Brother John, I don't have the gift of, you know, what Brother Blaine had. You know what I mean? He had the gift of the Messiah. You know, but I do have the gift of the discernment once in a while, and give knowledge of the Lord give once in a while. So on that particular day, you know, nothing happened except, as I said, when I went home in that evening around 6 o'clock when he called. I tell you one day, there's one experience I'll never forget. There's the same experience on the day when I was with my son Zohar in Bombay. You know, when the angel of the Lord came in the midnight, woke me up, just after about 15 minutes of sleep, after he went to bed, after he knocked up, I went to bed, and about 15 minutes, at 12 midnight, the angel of the Lord came in the room and stood right at the foot of my bed and woke me up not really in a sense of me, but I heard the voice. And I just got up and the angel stood right there. Just three words, speak the word. And I just do what I was supposed to do. And on that day when Brother John called me and then I hang up the phone, hanging the phone onto the cradle, put it back, and I literally froze. I didn't even hang it yet. I was just about to and I froze. And the voice spoke to me. John had a fear of a dreadful disease. Just like that. And I cradled the phone, went to the kitchen and told my wife what happened. You know, and that's the thing that I was wondering, why was the Lord doing that? But I knew, of course, all those years that, as you know me, as those who follow my ministry, not only here, but in other parts of the world, I never tell anybody about my calling until 1994, I think, when I wrote the book, The Foundation and the Wall, that I need to expose, because the Lord told me, you need to tell them who you are, just like Paul did. I'm an apostle of the Lord. You see, when you hear the word apostle, people say, oh, you're something pretty. You know how the mentality of many Christians. And as one minister in America whom I associate with, who started to, turn himself the chief, I never said that Brother Gang is an apostle. He told the congregation and sent the tape up. You know, I told him, I said, that means to say that you said that I'm an apostle, then I'm an apostle. That's why I never tell anybody back in the 70s or 80s until the 90s comes in and the Lord said, you need to let those know. The sign of my apostleship, the vindication, the token of my apostleship lies in those who saw and recognize who I am and I accept my ministry. I have laid the foundation. Restore back what was broken up. Even the end time message, the mess they were there. What did the Lord do that to me? Did I make myself one? There are things that I don't even know. Many of the revelation that you read in my book, think about them, never talk about, never even preach about. Because I believe the revelation is progressive. The day I came to the message in 1971, 72, and so on. I began to study the word. I began to see things in the book of Genesis. You know, think the problem never talks about, never preached. Or what other minister who came after Brother Branham? I've never seen it. Even in the contender of Brother Jackson, very good messages. But there are things that he never bring it up because he didn't know about it. And I believe this, as the Bible said, he sent apostles. Not one. And there's no such thing as a chief. But the broad thing is that what God gave to one apostle, look at all the early apostles. Every one of them are a certain number of what we call the measurement of the gift of apostleship. Look at Thomas. Did he write any book? I don't think that you find that. They said that the book of Thomas. Bartholomew and all these other books. Many of these apostles, don't have any epistle. But nonetheless, they are apostles. You know, indeed, Thomas went to India. After 1 year, decided to go back to Jerusalem and try to, discuss with the elders in Jerusalem, the other apostles, whether his revelation is in line with them or not. Did he do that? No. Because there's no such thing as a chief. God gave the mission to me. I don't know how many percent He gave it to me. That's my mission. So all these years, when Brother John was, I believe that it was a vindication for him of who I am, what my ministry is. And here in Singapore, like one sister said, one believer over the other said, all the pastors in the time men said, the only one that's stable is Brother Gann. The reason I'm stable is because I stable myself in the Word of God. Huh? Christ is a solid rock. The Word is a solid rock. You cannot have a good foundation if it is not upon the Word of God. And if the foundation be destroyed, what happened to the people? Huh? That's not why here in Singapore we have all these various groups. What is the foundation? The foundation, Om Branham. Huh? My hope is built on Branham. On Branham, the solid rock. What do you have? Catholic Church. What do they believe in? Who is their foundation? The Pope. This is the authority. Everybody is speaking is the word of God. That's what they believe in. So that's not what it is. So, you know, here we have Paul's love for the people. And the people of Philippines, Philippines. The people in Philippi, the Philippine believers, they love Paul. And there's such an integration. And that's how Paul can be open to them. Reveal his feelings towards them. And the same thing we see in Peter. Remember, Peter was in prison. And now Herod was wanting to put him to death after the Passover. So Peter was in prison. So what did the believers do? They start to pray. They start to gather in the house and start to pray. And in the night, what happened? The Lord opened the door for him to walk out. And that's not why the effectual prayer of a righteous man available much. They love Peter. They love his ministry. They love him. They pray for him. And miracles do happen. And I still believe in miracles. Huh? Because I'm a miracle. You are a miracle. Because you have a new life. It is what God gave to you. To be able to see Christ, to be able to recognize that you are the sinner, you have a Savior, and you responded, and He gave you the gift of eternal life. He gave you the Holy Spirit. That's a miracle. Let's continue with verse 11. Being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Being filled with the spirit of the fruit of righteousness. What is righteousness? A word that we see often in the Bible. Righteousness comes from the word righteous. Righteous comes from the word right. Right. Let's go to Isaiah 55. I'll show you what the word right means in the scripture. Isaiah 55. And verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And verse 7 to 8. What God spoke to Isaiah, return unto him. Verse 7 to 8. Chapter 7, verse 7 to 8. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by the plumb line, with the plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what see you? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. What is the plumb line? You know what a plumb line is? If you don't know what a plumb line is, you're going to ask an architect, a constructor, a builder of a building. You will see that they put the tripod thing and there's a plumb line. A line with what we call at the end, a width, going down the street. That's a plumb line. Righteousness is that plumb line. The straight line down is a plumb line. Now when Jesus said, when I, the Son of Man, be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Where was he? When he was down the cross. You have to look up straight. Not left, not right. Because both on the right and left, they are just teeth. Right? You stand at the foot of the cross, we look up. That's what righteousness is. A straight line up to God. God has set that in the midst of His people. In the midst of us is righteousness. And that righteousness is Christ Himself. And when He stood in, when He stands in the midst of us, He gives us the fruit of His righteousness. So do you understand what righteousness is? That's right. And then even so, what the medical sign? You know, in the wilderness, when Moses was up there and people had sinned against the law and they were bitten by the fiery serpent and they were all dying and sickly and things like that. And God told Moses to take a rod and put a brazen serpent on it, right? And Moses took the rod and put it straight up with the brazen serpent there. And whosoever look upon it will be healed. Right? That is the plumb line. In Christ is righteousness. You want to be right? It's in Christ. And if you are in Christ, your life needs to be right. Sincerity. That's all what Paul is trying to tell you here. This is a study in depth for us to understand. Alright? Let's go back now to Philippians. So being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus unto the glory and praise of God. So look to the cross. Look to Christ. Where comes righteousness? But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the thing which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palaces, in all the palace, and in all other places. Here you know, this is Paul writing this epistle. He was in prison. Not really prison, as in a cell. Okay, with other called criminals, murderers, thieves, and whatever. He was bound in chain under house arrest. Because he was not guilty of any other crime. I said that when he was preaching the gospel, and you know, there's always those who do not like. Look what we have in the world today. They go to India, I mean, you see, that's what we need to pray for our shepherd. Now, when you go to all the states in India, there are some places, there are a lot of Hindus, or even Muslims. They do not like Christians to be in their area. Because in that area, it is all as if all Hindu or all Muslim, and they don't want any other religion. Do you know what I'm saying? They find it in certain extremely Islamic country. It is just that. Or just like even in communist country back then, not today in China, at least there's some, you know, freedom a little bit. Under kind of a government allowed thing, you know. But back then in the time of, you know, Sterling, Lenin, and in Russia, behind the Iron Curtain, and behind the Bamboo Curtain, you have Mao Zedong and all that back then. It is a no-no for religion. Especially Christian. Why? Because Christianity, the Bible, it is always considered a Western religion. And the reason why a lot of people in the Asian people, like, you know, China, under the influence of Mao Zedong and Lenin's influence and Stalin's influence of communism, they think that the Bible being a Western religion, and since the West is so evil, you know, the West makes a mess of people's lives all over the world. I mean, you all have to know that. What we see in the world today. You know, I was watching a video just yesterday or 2 days ago. I didn't know. Where did Hitler get the idea of considering himself some superior race, and that he wanted to have, you know, those blue-eyed boys, blue-eyed girls with blonde hair, they are so-called superior race. And why did he go against that the Jews are the inferior race, that they are the evil one, that they are the one who make the money, make the people, you know, taking all the wealth, and wanted to, and then put them to death. And destroy them. Where did he get the idea? And I saw that video yesterday. It's all facts. It's under a video entitled, eugenic. Eugenic. I don't know what you I know what eugenic is. The first time I heard it, I said, well, I know this stuff. That is to say that back then, in the early 20th century, in the 1900s, beginning of that part, when Brother Ben was just was born and beginning to preach, it was over in America, this cult of scientists and all that says that, you know, why do we get all this imposter? Why do you get those people that are feeble-minded? Why do we get people who are, you know, rapists? Why do we get all these people who are born that, you know, what, the Down syndrome and all that? Why? It's always in the gene. So they want to cull people who, they are tracing history. You see a child who develop and then teenage and adult behave normal, so to speak. They want to trace a family breakdown, and they said it's all in the gene. So sterilize them so they won't, and don't allow them to get married. So that the world would not have all these weaklings, all this problem in society, that we have to build homes and keep these people who are mentally defective. Huh? And those rapists, face by, oh, the father must be rapist, the girl grandfather must be rapist because in the gene. That's what happened, what started in America. And that's what Hitler got that idea from. You see how dangerous it is? And what Brother Bram preached one sermon is true. One man's influence. One man's influence, your idea. Idea of Lenin, Stalin. Bolshevism got that and he put it, applying to China. That's one man who influenced me. And that is Christ. He influenced the whole world. He influenced the 12 disciples and sent them out to influence others. About life. True life. And from then the disciples went out there. And Jesus said, when he prayed, he told the Father that the people who hear this disciple of mine, that they will believe on me. And it moves on until we have Paul. And look at the one man is in front of Paul in the Gentile world. Are you a great influencer? Now, today we have all this influencer thing, you know. People who influence, I don't know what they want to influence. You know, all the mad, crazy things they do on Instagram. They post it down. You want to be an influencer? Be a Christian influencer. Is that right? Amen. Well, now let's go on now. So he said, the thing that happened to me, it's okay. What happened to me in a prison? I'm in a prison, right? You know, Paul did nothing wrong. But he was a prisoner. He stayed in a rented room by himself. But he had a chain. He cannot move far out. There will always be a guard guarding him. He can travel outside the house and a little around the vicinity, but he cannot go far. He's not allowed to be free to go out there to preach anymore. So he was under the chain, under the bond of chain. You know. But he's allowed visitors. Whatever he wrote, he allowed visitors to take this letter. You see. And there might be some curious people that come to visit him and want to hear the gospel. And he would be allowed to talk to them in the little home. But you know, Paul was there. He has been in that. I don't know what year he wrote, how long he has been in prison before he wrote this. You know. It could be after a year or so, nobody knows, because it's very hard to trace the timing. So he said he wrote it to the Philippi believer. You know, and they have concern for him and they sent things to them, to him. And he was very grateful because of the rapport that he had with them. Then, of course, he encouraged us, whatever happened to me right now, I'm in prison. I cannot go anywhere. But it's a good thing. Whatever happened to me, it was good because it furthered the gospel. You know, and people will come here and people are curious about why this fellow was in prison. So the news will go out and he said this, so that my born in Christ, I am a prisoner of Christ, are now manifest in all the palace and in all other places. You know, when he's being judged, he'll bring you one place to another, huh? And here was the time, I think it was under Nero's time. The president, Nero is the one who played the fiddle in the Rome play, is that? Am I not right? I'm quite can't remember now. Yeah, okay, Brother Roger, don't pay him. I think he must have good memory. You know, huh? Emperor Nero, right? Yeah, he must be the one who played. So he was, what was it, around this time. So you see, people wanted to know about him, you know. Oh, why is this so, why is this such a man? What are you preaching? And if people say, oh, he preached the gospel. So, you know, no matter what, as Paul later on said here, let's continue with here. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bones, are much more bold to speak the word without fear now, you see? Okay, now Paul is prison. Huh? So, no, they said, okay, if he's so brave enough to preach, and people hate the religion, just what you will probably see in India. Remember, I showed you what happened in India, the two Indian believers who was in the place speaking or sharing the gospel, and people called the police and said, and they were accused of making problems for the people in the village, and they were arrested. And Brown said, they had to pay quite a big price, so they let the two brothers be free from them, being in prison or put in jail. It's all corruption. You see? And yet, you see, when people do that, don't you hear that this person are willing, they mean there must be something that they have, that they want to give their life for the gospel. And that's what Paul said. For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. There is something about the gospel. So don't let your life waste. Die for something that's not of value. Let your life be such that if you want to live for Christ, die for Him. And so they were born. That's what Paul said. My warning, being put in prison, has become rather used for furtherance of the gospel. Now I believe what my life is all about too. You know, if you read the testimony on the website, when all the years of the ministry, when the word went out, the books went out, or when I preached, and then the enemies that say all kinds of things about me. And your brother, David Kwan, of Philippine, in his testimony, I think he said, I don't like this person, he's referring to me. He criticized the believer. You know, later on, of course, he realized what it was. Huh? God revealed to him, Sister Bree, Sister Grady, Sister Isabel in Canada, Brother Nice and Brother Nice, because God, I mean, he already have a ministry to begin with, and God called him out of the system. And you know, one time when I was on Skype back then, you know, some years back, and we were talking, I was talking with Brother David Kurtman, I think Brother Nice was also joining us, and you know, Brother Nice was telling us something which I heard for the first time. He said this, he said, before he was in the national, he was in the PAW, or a Pentecostal, PAW, Pentecostal Assembly of the Word. He said, they have convention, I saw and things like that. He said, in one of the convention, he was there, and there were all people from different places come. And then, he said, while we were talking, here came a man, a minister, and he said to him, and I find it very, very strange, and I think Brother David Gilman was laughing too. We were all laughing. He said, the man said to Brother Nice, so one of these days, there will come a Chinese man in a helicopter and pick you up and bring you up. So, you know, that was kind of funny, though, laughing, you know. I mean, what did he expect? You know, I mean, prophecy can come in any form. You know, word of the knowledge can come in any form. And brother said, he didn't know what it was. Huh? And God allowed him to see visions of Brother Branham and me in the river of pure living water. And of course, he's always criticized. And he was afraid too, in the beginning. Because what he heard of me. But you see, one thing is this. The most important thing in a person's life, as the angel told Brother, if you are sincere and get people to believe you, your life is your testimony. Your word, your ministry, what you believe in, what you teach, is the vindication of God. Because the word of God does not lie. It's a sure foundation. And those who are children of the living God, they will see the truth. My sheep hear my voice, and they will follow. Other voices, they will not. That's just why in this world, there are all kinds of voices. They're speaking. They're trying to get your attention. Not just the denominator, not just all these various groups, but it's also the things of the world. The video games. The movies. What else? The food. What else? The money that draws you. You know, you read in the paper, Singapore will soon be one of the richest country in the world, overtaking China and USA. Almost 8% of Singaporeans will be millionaire. I talked to a brother one time, many years ago, about how rich he is. He said, no. Just imagine, out of 100 people, 8 people are millionaire. Out of 50, 4 are millionaire. Out of 25, 2 are millionaire. Is that surprising? So it's not whatever you do with your money. It's one thing. Because why? You may be here today. Tomorrow, you may not see it. All your money will be still in the bank. Who will get it? Your spouse? Your children? Or your grandchildren? What then? Do you see what I'm talking about? There are people that serve this world. They live in this world serving mammon. We cannot. Either we serve God or we serve mammon. We cannot serve two. Not at all. Alright. So then, let's put it now. The word went up, even those in the palace, those in the, you know, the Roman palace, Roman courts, they heard of him. He may be being judged by this one, by judged by that one. All of the other places of Rome, you know, Paul is well known. You cannot hide the fact. As the Bible said, that the apostles, even they stir up the whole world with their gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember back when I was young, when I was in the Assemblies of God, you know, well, I think I can't remember the first name. Palau. Luis Palau. I can't remember the evangelist. Yeah, is that right? I think, yeah. And he came to Singapore and, you know, have a big crusade, so there were all kind of advertisements. The same thing when I think Morrison came, it's the same thing. And then there's one, I can't remember who, which crusade it was. They make stickers or button, and you wear on it, those councils, those share together. And they have the button or something like that, stick, they wear on it, and a poster that says, I found it! You don't remember, I don't know. Huh? Billy Graham, yeah, okay. I found it. Yeah. So the other guys, you see, so it's a sensational thing. You hear people talk about it, you know. He just said in the Philippines, but not here. In the Philippines, yes, when the Pope is going down, woo! Big thing, huh? Right? In Philippines, it's a big thing for when the Pope comes. You see. Yep. All right. And let's continue here. Verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Look, that is so true, isn't it, here? I mean, it doesn't matter, you know. But in that time, I mean, even at this time, I guess there are the people that are so evil. And I said, you know, when I was drawn back to Facebook, not intentionally, unintentionally, because I got myself out. As I said, how do I go back in? Because I'm trying to buy a second-hand camera. I have to sign in to Google and things like that, or to Facebook account. So I sent back then, God, welcome back, and all that stuff. So I said, okay, I guess the Lord has a hand in it. For it was there that people began to understand more, because I posted some article there. And some came into my website and started listening to the video. There's one young man called Enoch. He was listening to it. You know, and you see, but when I was on Facebook, I mean, on Facebook, you get all these other ministers. They'll come and then they criticize. They say all kinds of things. And I always don't reply to the comment. I want to be wise in that. No point trying to, when they make a comment that is, you know, twisting and being putting me down. What is there to say anything? I just wait for a while and then later on put that little article, you know, that talks about why, not directly about why this person talked about like that, but an answer to what the comments are already in different places. And so, finally, I know that some people keep their mouth shut, they get wiser now. That you ever come against me, you have to face the word. What are you going to do with the word? I said this many times. You know, just like here, I think last year, 2020, or 2020, I think it was. There was somebody caught my attention. A believer in Ghana called my attention to his former pastor, what he said in his convention in December 2019, just before the COVID came. And he had a congregation, a big congregation, this pastor, very big congregation of people. And it was convention, he invited people to come. And he had a foreign preacher with him. And the brother who was formerly in the church, come at attention, he said, but I'm going to listen to what he said here. And he said to go and look at this particular section. And where he was, the preacher started to say something about me. Now, he is the very person that destroyed my relationship with Brother Jackson with his letter asking Brother Jackson, who is right, you or Brother Gunn? And I said, I wrote back to him, I said, if you don't see and understand what is being taught by Brother Jackson or me, just put it on the shelf. Jackson could be right, I could be right, he could be wrong, I could be wrong. Just put it on the shelf. But Brother Jackson went to the pulpit and started to criticize what I taught. And that's where the problem started. You know, so this preacher, Ghana, what he said was this. He says, I was preaching at a meeting in Irenaeus town, in Lyon. Lyon is in France. There was an apostle from Singapore. He has made himself the corrector of every preacher. When I had a chance of a closing sermon, I told him plainly, God had not given you control over my ministry. You are not a supervisor of my ministry. And you know, I did well, well. You know how the African actors used to look? I did well, well. And the brother who sent this to me, he said, see, that's my former pastor. Anyway, his former pastor was lying. You can find it on my website. So I wrote back to him, and my goodness, he hadn't used the word alibiing, excusing, sidetracking the issue. You know, the year that when he caused the problem between Brother Jackson and me was in the 80s, 84, 85. From that time on, we never corresponded. For years, never corresponded. So when I went to Belgium, when was that? What year was that? 2018, I think. 17, 18. I went to Belgium. My brother Leonard Liefers invited me to go. So I went. And my brother Leonard put me up in the car, picked me up at the hotel. I went and sitting in the car. In front was somebody else. And that somebody else was a Ghanaian pastor. So I sat behind. So, Brother Leonard said, Bergen, this is Brother so-and-so. I don't mention him anyway. And he said, Brother, this is Bergen. Then he was sitting in front, behind, that's it. Then after a few days later, convention, I went, you know, after the meeting, went to eat in the restaurant. And he was sitting there with two other believers, ministers. So I went there and joined. So I sat next to him, and he looked at me, Are you Brother Richard Gann from Singapore? I said, yeah. You know, in the car, he didn't recognize me. He said, yeah. Oh, I want to apologize for what happened. Referring to back in 1985. Between how he caused the, you know, the problem between Brother Jackson and me. I said, well, that's okay. It's not as much of your fault as well as it is Brother Jackson's fault. That's about it. During the last convention in Belgium, and we went over to France, Lyon, we never spoke. He said that he preached this. I was there. He never said anything about this. And he lied to his congregation in the convention in Ghana. So when I wrote back to him, he was sidetracking and lying and all this thing. He got the scripture. The very scripture he tried to put on me is actually a scripture for him. I said, are you seeing it yourself? Let me tell you this one thing, brother and sister. Somebody said, Brother Gann, this is our history, let it pass. Let it pass. That's what he made comment on Facebook. Let me say this one thing here. Tell it to Paul in the Bible. Tell it to Paul. Let it pass, Paul. Between your problem, Hymenaeus, Philetus, Alexander, who did you much damage, let it pass. Why do you put their name in the epistle? Your letter and the blood that they circulate around. It is not a small thing between Paul and this brother. This brother is damaging the gospel that Paul preached. Hymenaeus and Philetus says what? The resurrection is over. And Paul says, no. It's coming. Right? And when they are lying on, they still want to happen, destroy the faith of man. Alexander Coppersmith, I said, the same person, what damage has he done upon Paul? I have no idea. He must have done something really bad. That Paul had called out these names. You don't call out names over a small thing between you and me. When you call out the name, when you damage the word of God. Especially as Paul would say, my gospel. Remember, he used the word, my gospel. Do you know that? The gospel that God gave to Paul to preach to the Gentiles. And yet there are those that come around and try to put those whom Paul had converted under bondage to the law. Remember? You cannot do this, you cannot do that. food offered to idol, you cannot eat. Blood, you cannot eat. Think they are single, you don't eat. Where do you bring in the law? So that's why sincerity is so important. If you know that you are making a mistake, and if you know that somebody tells you this is a mistake you have made, that's not true. Be honest enough to say, I'm sorry. Be a man. When the article I posted, I had a book called No More Excuses. Be the man that God wants you to be. A book. I took a picture of the book and I posted that. No more excuses. Be the man that God wants you to be. Admit it. You are wrong. You are wrong. But would you admit it? No. Come to it. Go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 to 24.
Proverbs 4, chapter 4, 23 to 24. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a foulward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee.
Right. So, that is King James. If you can understand what King James wants to say, but let me read it to you in the simplified version, paraphrased version, whatever you want to call it, Good News, Bible version, whatever. This is how he says. Be careful how you think, because what we come up with must come from hell, right? That's why King James used the word heart. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. What you feel in the heart, right? It's all shaped by that. Never say anything that is not true. Have nothing to do with lies and misleading words. You know, I have been, people are just telling me a lot of lies and misleading words. Come on, no more excuses, tell the truth. You don't like this fellowship? Tell me, I don't like this fellowship. Simple as that. You've only got a place that you find can find good food, go. As Bob Graham said, find the best teacher you can find and you stay with him. If I'm not leading you into the word, then go find someone that will lead you into the word. I'm not here as a hireling, you know, for the gospel of God. No, I'm not. I'm called of God to do just what I have to do. In all those years, I remain silent. And God has done all He has done. Just think about it. Many times I just wonder, 1972, a year after I came to the message, God spoke. I have set you for the ministry to raise up a standard in this part of the world. There will be a blessing to my people out there. Singapore, a little island. Yeah, of course. Veteran, of course, I was very much attacked by the big guys from America, from Canada, Europe. And many of these people who attacked me, they are no longer around. They have gone away from the message. Why? What happened? And I said this one thing. There's no foundation. Just what the Ghanaian pastor told me. When he told me he apologized and that he was sorry. And he even mentioned one of the preacher that was there in the meeting. He said, he's no longer alone. I said, I was not surprised. If all you have is the court of Brother Branham, you think you can stand? People think that I'm going to stand before God and say, I did what Brother Branham said. I believe everything that Brother Branham said. You know, one thing that God was just asking, but did you understand what he said? Right? Many heard what Jesus said. Blessed you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you have no eternal life. And what are you going to do? Dig out the grave or the sepulchre or put that rock, move away, and then eat the flesh of Christ? What are you looking at? He that hath the ear to hear, let him hear. Like I told the brother, opposed to that. And Joseph said, Nini, he that hath the ear, let him hear. Are you hearing? Yes, I'm hearing. Are you listening? I'm listening. I said, what do you hear? Huh? Yes. Don't let in one ear out the others. All right. As Paul here said, right? There are different kinds of preachers, those that opposing the truth. Then we have here, as Paul said, verse 17, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding everywhere, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I then do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Right. Whether you preach a pretense or whatever it is, doesn't matter, because what has wrong, the gospel is preached. So I said this, the denomination. And like there are those out there who have no place to go for fellowship. You know, and even if Bob Brown said, you just go to church and just worship. You know, you take the meat and throw away the bones, right? Huh? And you know what? Some brothers say, yeah, I go to the church nearby. And then, you know, some of them are really good Christians. They better behave than many in the end time message. And when you share with some believer in the end time message, listen to the brand of mine, because they say, ah, no. We have the truth. What do you do with the truth? You know, I have been with many of these in Singapore, and whenever you talk with them a little bit, Brother Bram said, you know, when you try to talk about the gospel and talk about some truth, Brother Bram said, what are you always talking about, Brother Bram? Can ever the word Brother Branham not be in your mouth? Huh? And one time, as these of them said to me, Brother, you are very rude. You have no respect for Brother Branham. In your book, you put your name Branham. So I put the word name Branham is wrong. Eh? So what do we call Paul in the Bible? What else do we call Brother Paul? Brother Peter? Brother Bartholomew, have you done? We preach, you know, we quote the Bible. Brother Moses, Brother Elijah said this. Brother Daniel. Hypocrites, these people. They think that by being respect, Brother Bartholomew said, if you love me, call me brother. Come on, yes. If we love each other, we call brother and sister too, right? Yes. But you know, just because the name is used, Paul in the Bible, when he wrote all this. In fact, the Holy Spirit allowed the Bible to be written. There's no word, Brother Paul, Brother Peter, Brother Moses. No. I said once or twice, I think Peter might mention Brother Paul or something like that. Now, that's right. But that's the word we preach. Whether it's a denomination, if you're a denomination, you meet denomination people sharing the gospel with somebody on the street, you know, smile. Just say a prayer as you pass by. Maybe. That the person whom he's speaking to may be converted to Christ. As long as Christ is preached, regardless of who preaches. If the Pope said that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, I said amen. Oh, you cannot, because he's the Pope. He's Antichrist. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about what he said. Do you understand? You know, Balaam sat on that donkey. And the donkey could talk. So use the donkey to talk, right? And the donkey opened the mouth. Come on, let's say the parrots. You know, you have parrots. Parrots are the only one that really mimic. Parroting, you know. Not the dog one, the monkey one. The parrot. The parrot, you hear parrots say, in the morning you wake up, you greet him, you say, praise the Lord. What do you say? Oh, shut up. No. He said, amen. Would you? After all, the voice, even as Jesus said, About the rock, they were cried out. Remember? Yes. And we who have the voice to praise the Lord, we don't praise the Lord. If it takes a donkey to praise the Lord, a monkey to praise the Lord, if you want a pig to praise the Lord, we can say amen. Because it's all about Him. It's not about me. It's not about the animal. It's about Him. Even the Bible said the stars sort of sing for joy, right? Huh? The star can sing. That's right. And the rainbow, when the rain comes, God put the rainbow in the sky. Come on, look at the rainbow. That's a glory. It's praising the Lord. I like the splash of His seven color. What do you see? The light of truth. Let's continue. For I know that these shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. See the word there? For I know that you shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. What is prayer? You know, I tell you time again, okay, the prayer. Okay, let us go to Luke chapter 11, verse 2. And Jesus said unto them, when you pray, say. See the word that would say? And Jesus said unto them, when you pray, think. Now I'll tell you one thing about prayer. Prayer is that you have to utter, you have to break silent. Furthermore, let's go over to Colossians 4, verse 2 to 4. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Without praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am inborn, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Prayer is open your mouth. When you preach the gospel, you have to open your mouth. Everything is opening the mouth. Utterance. Right? Ephesians chapter 6. And we have verse 18 to 21. Praying always with prayer and supplication in spirit. When watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all sins. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bond, that wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, and that you also may know my affair and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, make known to you all, you know, to you all things. So prayer is breaking silence. When you preach, when you want to share the gospel, you have also to open your mouth in utterance. That is breaking silence. Jesus said, when you pray, say. Don't think. You know, many times we tend to meditate. When we sit and we think and we are praying, when we are meditating, actually we are meditating. You know, I cannot sit at night sometimes because of the pain. I get up. I sit on the bed. And I just meditate. I didn't open, I just meditate. And I'm just talking to the Lord by meditation. Is God hearing me? Yes, God hears you. But that is meditation. So after I meditate, then I say, Lord, this is what I want. And I open my mouth and speak. So then you say, hey, think before you speak. Am I not right? You meditate what you want to say before you say. You think before you say. Don't just say anything without knowing what to say. You say. But of course, sometimes it's spontaneous. You know what you want. You ask. And you know one thing about prayer? Never, never back. Never back. Because the Bible says, ask and it shall be given. You don't come to God and say, please, Lord, please, heal me. You don't have to. You never find the word please in the Bible. All you have to do is say, come to the Father. Father, you know what I need? I need this. I need that. I need your blessing. You don't say, Father, bless me. Please, please, bless me. Do you understand that? So, you know, you have confidence, and the Bible says, come to the Lord and ask. Don't come to God, don't know whether He's going to give to me or not. Please. You know, like a little child, you know. No. You have confidence in the Lord because He said so. He given all these promises. You ask Him. He's a prodigal, and many times I ask, but I never receive. And sometimes I don't even want to ask. God knows my heart and He gave. That's true. He knows what you want before you pray, right? Because you see, what you need, He will give. But what you want, He doesn't have to give. That's the difference between want and needs. And that's what James said. The reason why you ask, you don't have it, is because you ask amiss. That you may consume upon your own self, for your own lust. Ask in the word of the Lord, and it will be granted you. Alright, let's go. And the Bible says many places, I'm not going to refer to it. They talk about the prayer of the righteous. Avail much, right? Is that alright? Are you righteous? Come on. Are you righteous? If you say you're not righteous, we are righteous because God made us righteous in Christ Jesus. And that's why we must bear the fruit of righteousness. And if we are righteous in the eyes of God, then our prayer must be effective. And we ask in sincerity and in truth, in the need of what is required, what is needed, not because of what we want. What do I want now? For myself, what do I want now? Nothing. I have everything. When I have Christ, I have everything. Is it not true? Yes. And I know many brothers and sisters are still struggling. Why? Is Christ everything to them? Or is it because there's something else that they need? Or that they already want and they think that they need it? Let's see what Paul says, alright? According through my prayer, right, verse 19, for I know that it shall turn out to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ Jesus shall be magnified in my body. Whether it be by life or by death, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. That's what Paul may be saying. Right now in this situation. And the next verse he says what? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I would not. I don't know. Paul is, what is going on to Paul? Paul is opening up his heart to these Philippians. What is going through at this particular time that he was born in the house of arrest. But, okay, you're in the house of arrest. Why do you feel so bad? You know, he can say one thing which is so true. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I do not know. I do not know what I wish. You see, how old was Paul at this time? He's about 62 years old. more or less. You know, all the disciples of Jesus Christ, every one of those disciples of Jesus Christ, they are younger than Jesus Christ. Do you know that's a custom? Because the master, a teacher, is always older than the disciple. So the oldest among the 12 was Peter. Peter is at least 1 year older, I mean younger than Jesus Christ. And the youngest of the world was John. John is at least 4 to 6 years younger than Christ. Okay? Alright. So now here, and all the disciples, except for John, they all die a martyr. And they all die at what age? Many around 60 years old. All of them in the early 60s, they died. Just imagine. Except for John, who died, I think, around 96 years old. He's the only one that God, Christ allowed him to be put out of Patmos to get this final revelation. What we call the Book of Revelation. Do you understand? And he was Paul, he was only about 62 years old, more or less. As you see, the calendar time, as I said, 14 years or 2 to 4 years. So some say he's 64, some say 60, whatever, let's put 62. He's in the house, and I said, you know where he's going to be released. You think that he's going to be there all the time. But what is the problem, Paul? You're not suffering. Oh, he's not suffering. He is suffering. He was really suffering. You know, his health had taken a beating, so to speak. Don't you know? Thrown into the high sea, huh? Beaten up by robbers, thrown into prison, right? He was wrapped. So many of the apostles. Think about it. And here he was. With the affliction in his eye. Why did God not heal him? Sometimes you wonder, why did God allow that? What had Paul done that he deserved that? Nothing. Yeah, he wasn't a believer. He was a crusader against the people of the way. To get them, lock them up, put them to death perhaps. But God has used him as a vessel. God set Paul for an example to the believers. Think about it. Paul was an example God used for the believers. Paul didn't know how long he was going to be there, but he was there. In chain. Couldn't do much. The pain maybe comes once in a while. His body is kind of weak. Perhaps. And he says, I wish I'm dead. I wish to be with the Lord. And yet, I want to live. I don't know, what choice should I pick? And he said this, if I live in this body, the flesh, you are the fruit of my labor. This is the manifestation. And I will get more converts that become the fruit of my labor. If I continue to live in this body. Because there are people that come to hear him too. And he was able to walk outside the house and talk to people. Huh? And perhaps he can continue to pen and write epistles. You know, he said this, if I continue to live in my flesh. Yet, what I shall choose, I do not know. I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with the Lord, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know, sometimes it's hard for we believers to digest what Paul is talking. When people are well, if you are well and healthy, health and wealth. When I say wealth, I don't mean just money. What means everything, you, everything is okay with you, right? Huh? You have house, you have this, everything is comfortable. Your food, no problem. I'm healthy, yes, no problem. You won't think of dying. You won't think that I want to be with the Lord. Come on! Yes, but I haven't. Henry, you are 60 plus. No? I mean, 70 now, yeah. But Paul is in the 60, huh? How is this? No, yeah. 1 more year, 60. Okay. You know, when you are in the age of 60, everything is fine, Danny. Do you say, I want to die with you, Christ? You won't say that, would you? Come on, would you? Yeah, you won't. But when you are in a state like this, you just feel that, Lord, release me from this burden, from this suffering, from the pain. Let me be with you. I would rather be with you. Do you think Paul is the only one? What about there's one guy back then, well-known guy in the Old Testament? Who is that? Elijah. Oh, come on, Elijah was such a prophet. Sometimes I want to look at Elijah. Look at Elijah. The power that God has invested in him. Wow. A man who, if you read the book, the Old Testament, he appeared and he disappeared. Pop, pop, he'll be here and there. You probably don't realize who he is. He was just like Philip. God transferred. He took one moment in Samaria, then he's out there in the desert. Then one moment, pop, he went back to Samaria. Elijah is that person. And he can challenge the Baal worshipper, the priest. 450. Where 450? Challenge them. Wow, look at him. And God sent a fire down from heaven and burned up his sacrifice. But when when Jezebel, the evil queen, the husband Ahab had no backbone. His backbone has always been held by the wife. Do this, move here, move there. And then Jezebel came and sent a message to Elijah. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to put you to death. Elijah ran. Come on, Elijah, what happened? He was a prophet sent in northern Israel. And when Joshua came with that message, to a messenger, he ran all the way down to the southern nation of Judah, down all the way he went to Horeb, where Mount Sinai was, down in the Red Sea area on the right, in Arabia. And God spoke to him there. You know why he was running away? He went into hiding. God said, what are you doing here? You know, what did God ask? As if God doesn't know. I said to many of them, God asked a question. What are you doing here? God wants you to speak. Wants you to give an answer. You cannot. God said, what are you doing here? God just said, you don't know, man? You know what I'm saying? Some people say, as if God knows everything. Yeah, I know God knows everything, but God wants you to answer. He wants a response from you. I always said that. It's all in the Bible. Lord, I have done everything. I'm the only one left. And here's this woman out, you want to kill me. He told me he was the only one left. You see, one thing about it, God wanted an answer from his mouth. So God will tell him, no, I have 7,000 left. Is it 7,000? Yeah, I have 7,000. They did not bow down to Baal. But Elijah thought he was the only one. Right? You see, that's the way it is. But Elijah wanted to die. Did Elijah die? No. God said, no, yet, not yet. I'm not going to. He wanted to die. But you see, God gave him two more work to do. Go to see you. Anoint the king. Then go and anoint Elijah. He will take your place. Then after that, about 2 years later, I think, it will take about space 2 days later. Then God took him. Paul was the same. 2 years later, he was released from prison, from his bondage. and he ministered the word. But what happened? 2 years later, after that, he died a martyr. Yeah, under the hand of Nero. Emperor Nero. How did he die? I don't know. Some say he was beheaded, which is quite a common thing about that those days. If you're not beheaded, then you're crucified. And which one would you prefer? I prefer to have my head cut off. Because that crucifixion is a terrible, painful thing. It's most painful. And if you don't die by that time, when then they have enough of you hanging there, one day, 2 days, they'll break your bone, your leg. So that when your leg is fractured, you cannot support, you're down. And then you pull up, your lungs are being stretched, being tightened by the muscle, you until you suffocate. A horrible death. Peter, how did Peter die? He was crucified upside down. My goodness, can you stand in your head for how long can you stand on your head? That was a terrible way to die. But I think Peter chose it. Because I'm not worthy to be hanging on a cross like that. Let me die the other way. Hanging upside down. They're not really a cross the way you understood, but more of a X shape. They said this word. They will die like this and turn upside down. All right. So let me close quickly here. So as Paul said, as Paul said, Elijah will probably be saying the same thing. Take away my life, Lord, take away my life. Paul is probably saying the same thing. I don't know who else in the whole scripture ever talk about that. The only person that was a prophet that lived long was Moses. He really lived 120 years. I'm talking about Abraham or Isaac. They're not actually prophet the way that Moses would be. Moses, 120, Elijah, they said that he died very young too, around 60 or something like that. Young. You know, he said that people who are wicked live long life. People who are not wicked, righteous, die young. So if you die old, means you're wicked. Then that's an expression. All right then. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, because Paul could continue minister the word to them. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He said that, I know that I shall abide and continue with you. Paul knew that he would be released somehow. Because they could not hold him for too long. You know what I mean? He didn't know when he would be released, but he was released after 2 years. But he didn't know that after 2 years, after release, he would die. He will be taken as a martyr when he went back to Rome. So he doesn't know. But at least he says, I know I will be with you for the furtherance of the gospel. Alright? And joy of faith. That your rejoicing will be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Whether I come to you or you come to me. The thing right now is this. Yes. Sometimes you wonder why God allows certain things to be. The Bible said, God said, I created good and evil. Right? You know that, don't you? I created good and evil. What did God do that? If God is good, why do you want to create evil? Ever wonder why? No. This is blank. How do you know this is blank? How do you know this is black? What is the opposite of black? It's white. Right? But how do you know that black is the opposite of white? But what about light and darkness? How do you know there's what is darkness if you don't see light? To know what is light, you have to know what is dark. And God allows, when He said, I cannot good and evil. And I know that He had the plan back then when He created heaven and earth and everything. He already planned the counsel in Himself. And He's going to, well, He already knows the future in His counsel, what He's going to do. He's going to blindsight Satan. Sin came, death came, destruction came. So we know what sin is, we know what death is, we know what destruction is, all because of the manifestation of the other side of good. Right? You don't know what is good until you know what is evil. Like when Zoya and Zoe was young, you know, I picked them up, went to the stove, make sure that they know the fire is, you don't meddle with fire. No, you're young, near toddler, as they are able to walk. I take their hand, I say, go near to it, you see the fire, go near to it. They, of course, as a child, they obey. They can feel the heat. As they go near, they will shrink. You see, I said, do you know what that is? That is fire, that hurts, if you go and touch it. Or touch the pot that is hot. So, a child grew by knowing what is this and what is that. Am I not right? What is right? What is wrong? What is good and what is bad? So, here we are today. As what I am. Some people wonder, you know, how to, like Paul, like Elijah, Lord, take me home. I'm tired. Hard to sleep every night. The pain comes, and you know the pain that I don't like is when you have jumping pain. You just sit down there, walk, and you get something that poke right into it, and it's so painful, it's an irritation. It's not a pain that is constant, that you're aware of. But it just poke you, and it poke you here, back here, and nighttime is just a problem, and trying to sleep with all this burning pain in my leg because of this spondylosis, the pinching of the nerve. So I suppose it, not the loss will be done. I don't know how long. Four or 2 years around there. Maybe after 2 years, I don't know. Whatever it be, I'm looking for one thing. The coming of the Lord. I'm looking for the next 2 years, what is going to come. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. My faith rests upon His word, and His will be done. Nothing else. To depart from here, to be with the Lord is so much better. But to stay here is so much better for you and for those brothers and sisters out there who need it, the ministry to you. Amen? Amen? So everything is in the hand of the Lord. Contented I am. Yeah, that's what we have. The contented. For if I have Jesus, I don't need anything else. I'm contented. I feel with joy. Yes, when I couldn't sleep at night, I cried. What kind of crying is that? I cried because of joy. I have the assurance. You understand what I'm saying? There's a point talking about in this epistle. The contentment that we should have. We possess everything on Christ already. Now we should be full of joy to know that He is our everything. Nothing else, nothing less. Amen? Amen? Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for what we have of Your holy word of life. That's the word rule. May we grow in the grace every day. Thank you, Father. Your will be done in all that you said in thy word. Upon your people, give them the blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.